From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Make no mistake, Oregon is pro-fungi. In addition to our climate, which is very conducive to their growth and distribution, we're also a state where untold numbers of people go out into the woods to find these delicacies. Yet so little is still known about fungi and their tremendous impact on the environment. Today on the show, you'll hear from two Australian documentary filmmakers who will be screening their latest film, Follow the Rain, at the Eugene Art House on April 12th. The film is both a scientific endeavor, but also an artistic appreciation of all things fungi. Their groundbreaking time-lapse photographic method lets viewers see how mushrooms literally paint the forest floor, and their work showcases colors and shapes that are almost too vivid to believe. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Sure, an environmental documentary about athletic and charismatic species like wolves, sharks, or elephants is great to see, but sometimes a film about something that stays in one place can also be immeasurably captivating. A new documentary to be screened at the Eugene Art House on April 12th centers on fungi and their amazing impact on our entire world. A conversation with the filmmakers is next. Film producers Stephen Axford and Catherine Marchignac, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so your film, Follow the Rain, is going to be shown at the Eugene Art House on April 12th. Before we even get into the film itself, my first question, and I'll start with you, Catherine, is why did you want to make this documentary?
So we've been doing time lapses of mushrooms growing for some time, probably over a decade, and they've appeared in some wonderful documentaries like Planet Earth 2 and Hostile Planet. You know, people in the US probably know Fantastic Fungi quite well, where there's about 20 of our time lapses in that. Mm-hmm. But because we go into the forest as soon as it rains, like many fungi hunters do, our experience of the forest was a little bit different. You know, when it's in full fungi season, it was different to what we were seeing on screen. And I guess we wanted to take people into that experience of being in the forest when the fungi is really on, and also then the species that we time-lapse we see in the forest. So making that connection between these beautiful images of fungi growing and what we actually see in the forest. And yeah, we wanted to take people on that journey and also highlight a few of the, you know, really new thinking around fungi and how it's involved in climate and the role that it plays in our ecosystems. I mean, you know, Steve and I were gobsmacked when we realized that without fungi, life as we know it wouldn't exist. So I guess, you know, we wanted to take people on that journey of discovery as well.
Yeah. Stephen, so tell folks who I'm sure are going to be very interested in going to the premiere at the Eugene Art House, what are they going to see?
They're going to see us going into the forest and for various reasons, going out into the centre of Australia to the Flinders Ranges, where it's normally very dry, but they'd had some rain, so we went out there to see the fungi growing. We go to the Tarkine in Tasmania, which is fairly famous for old growth forests and fungi.
Well, we even closer to home, we saw that this fellow had been posting the bizarre pictures on the internet.
Our friend, who's took the time to look under leaves and found tiny little spiders and insects that had been attacked by fungus. And he thought he didn't know what they were to start with. He saw this spider and it had 12 legs. And he knew something was wrong, so he posted it and found out that they were cordyceps, or cordyceps-like fungi.
Hmm.
So flesh-eating fungi.
And thousands of them. So we'd go around to his place and we'd look under leaves and you'd just find this huge variety of cordyceps fungi. And we did it at home as well and found not nearly as many, but found some fungi under the leaves at home. So you can do it almost anywhere. We're out in New Zealand and A friend found a whole lot under leaves. I read about something in Maryland, I think, in the United States, where they had a lot of cordyceps type fungi under leaves as well. So it can happen in all sorts of climates and in all sorts of places. So bring that sort of thing out, and we go into finding new species and the problems with naming them.
Yeah, I bet there's so
Because
many.
anyone who's into fungi knows that the potential to find a new species is really quite high because it's been such a neglected area of scientific research. But then getting it from going, oh, there's a pretty fungus, well, I wonder what it is, to actually realizing that it's a new species and getting a name for it can take up to a decade, which happened for this particular fungus that we talk about in the film. And Steve's being very humble because, of course, the other thing that you see in the film is his exquisite time lapses of fungi. You know, we've really pulled on our 10-year archive of time lapses and showcase them in this film. So people will see time lapses of fungi like they've never seen before. And we explore how we do them behind the scenes in our studio. And of course, it also showcases Steve's gorgeous photographs because whenever I make a film for our Planet Fungi brand, I'm always, you know, Steve's the presenter and Steve's a photographer. So his photographs are always part of the story.
Well, and looking at the trailer like I did, it's gorgeous, the time lapse. In fact, I was thinking, gosh, when I was a much younger man, time lapse was kind of clunky. It just didn't showcase the beauty that you see in this film. And so, Steve, you know, talk about the patience and precision that doing this kind of modern time lapse takes.
Well, it's something I probably treated as an art form. I first started doing it about 2012, I suppose. Just because we found that we had luminous fungi on our property here. So the luminous fungi fascinates everyone, including myself. So I'd go out in the backyard and photograph the fungi, and then we had this idea to time lapse. So I set up a studio in a spare shower that we have, blacked out the windows, made it into a little dark room, brought in all of these rotting logs and piled them up, and set a camera up on a tripod. Fortunately, Catherine was very understanding, being a filmmaker. But the time lapses came out remarkably well. In fact, I think we showed the first time lapse that I ever took. And things developed from there. We had the opportunity to get a half shipping container, which we brought in, and we use that as a studio now. And as time went on, I'd replace cameras, and we were fortunate enough to get a help from Sony. So we got more cameras that way. And it just grew, and it became almost an addiction with me, except addictions are bad for you, and I don't think this was bad for me. So I'd go down every morning and look at what had happened to the things under the cameras. And I just did that for years.
It was like, you know, the old black and white dark rooms. You know, every morning we'd get this opportunity to see, you know, when you patch it together on the on in the software, you get to see this thing evolving from the developing dish, you know, and it's just a magical way to start the day. And you're quite right, you know, the challenge for us has always been to try and make those time lapses feel like they are in the forest, that you're having that experience, that you're seeing a mushroom kind of blossom underneath the leaf litter of the forest. And yeah, certainly taking those observations that we have as, I suppose, modern day naturalists into the work that we were doing in the time lapse. So it was both beautiful and scientifically accurate.
documentaries have challenges all their own. And I imagine if you were the two of you going out making a documentary about like a migratory species, there'd be all sorts of challenges in terms of travel and following something like, you know, zebras migrating. But talk about the challenges, even though your subjects are somewhat, sedentary, they're not flying or running, but you don't exactly know what's going to happen, do you, when they sprout up? And so talk about that. We've talked about the time lapse, but just talked about, you know, again, the patience of looking at something and filming something that you don't know what it's actually going to do once it breaches the soil.
Yeah, you probably put your finger on the most difficult problem, because you point the camera at a mushroom that's preferably a tiny little mushroom about to grow into a big mushroom. But you're never quite sure which way it's going to grow, whether it's going to go straight up or come out towards the camera or go away from the camera or go to either side, or grow much bigger than you thought it was going to be, or grow much smaller than you thought it was going to be. So.
And how long it takes?
Yeah, and how long it takes. Like, we try to do tracks sometimes, because filmmakers love tracks. You know, they love the camera moving. Mm-hmm. I hate
because they add another variable.
There's another variable. You've got to not only know where the mushroom's going to grow, but how quickly it's going to grow. And that can vary a lot. Like, some mushrooms might take weeks to grow. Another mushroom might take 3 hours. So
we were doing time lapses of a mushroom called Acerori rubra, or it's a stinkhorn mushroom, and it grows out of an egg, you know. So And the egg can sit there for like a month and not do anything. Meanwhile, because when it does come out of the egg, it grows very quickly. It'll burst out and be a full mushroom within 3 or 4 hours. And so you've got to have the frames of the camera ticking away at a relatively fast interval for that whole time, for over a month. So the wear and tear on cameras, having them in this incredibly damp, horrible atmosphere of our shipping container, it's not exactly the best environment for photographic gear.
Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Stephen Axford and Catherine Marciniak about their film, Follow the Rain. Well, Catherine, I'm going to stay with you because, you know, fungi are sort of having a moment right now. I mean, in terms of, and you've been a part of this, you've made movies and you've worked with the legendary David Attenborough on Planet Earth. All of a sudden, it's like people are starting to realize, and just scratching the surface, of how vital mushrooms are. And you teed this up at the beginning, but just talk more about that, of the fact that mushrooms used to be just resigned to pizza toppings and salad toppings are now becoming... you know, something that is an integral part of so much of our environment.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, there is definitely a micro-awakening. We say that when we first started doing this, we were, you know, on a little ripple in the ocean, and now we're kind of riding this wave of people's interest in mushrooms and fungi in general. And I think that it's come about for so many different reasons. I think, first of all, DNA sequencing has played a major role in being able to identify these things that we come up in the forest. So all of a sudden we realize there's so many more species than we thought there were. You know, only it wasn't that long ago that we thought there were only 250,000 species of fungi on the planet. Now it's up to 2 to 5 million, out to 11 million potentially.
Wow.
And only 155,000 of those have been identified. So that means that the discovery, the wow of discovery, is really there for people going out into the forest and seeing these things. I think that also people realizing that mushrooms are fantastic food has meant that people are cultivating them at home. And so that's brought families along on the mushroom ride. But I also think that it's partly because we've all gone, oh my goodness, we did not know that without fungi, forests wouldn't grow.
Yeah.
Plants wouldn't grow. That, you know, that we wouldn't be storing so much carbon. Fungi, mycelium, stores a tremendous amount of carbon. that without fungi, we'd be, walking around underneath piles of leaves and animals and wood that, takes millions of years to rot away without this organism. And that without fungi, we wouldn't have as much rain because it actually, they're little rainmakers, those spores that end up in the atmosphere. So I guess there's been this realization that this is an incredibly important organism on the planet, that fauna, flora, and fungi, they just, they're the main kingdoms of life on Earth, and that they go hand in hand, and without each other, we would not exist.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the biggest thing behind this micro-awakening.
Yeah. Good enough. Good enough. He's Stephen Axford and she is Catherine Marciniak, and they are the film producers for the film that will be screened at the Eugene Art House on April 12th, Follow the Rain. Really appreciate both of your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, a discussion with Oregon Speaker of the House Julie Fahey about the short legislative session results, and we also talk with an Oregonian personal finance reporter about how tariffs are impacting Oregon consumers and businesses. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.